kind of why you get the regular documents on there.
I call this meeting to order. If I could get a motion to approve the minutes from last month.
But that doesn't have all the...
Second.
Resolution.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Resolution 212, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 16.
Point of order, Mr. Chairman, if I may. Attendance, committee members.
Jay takes their self.
Oh. Nice cover.
It should be noted in the recording, though, which, of course, the people at home listening, that all the committee members are here, including Chairman Roberts, Deputy Chair Donaldson, Heidi Haynes, Jonathan Hefner, and Jim Mahoney.
Do you want to give a plug to the legislators not on the committee?
Also present are Kathy Nolan and Ken Ronk, who, of course, is on every committee, Chairman Ronk, and Mr. Joseph Mahoney.
What about yourself?
And Hector Rodriguez is here, too.
Let the record show that Hector is here.
I move we accept that record.
Okay. Can I finish, Jim?
Yes, you may.
All right, 212. Setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 16 of 18. Local law regarding campaign finance reform in Ulster County. And this be set in a public hearing. Somebody move this?
I'll move it for discussion.
Second.
Mr. Chair?
It's been my understanding that the sponsor is willing to accept a voluntary postponement for one more month. So at this time, I'll make that motion that we postpone this resolution for one more month with the sponsor's consent.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, Kathy. 281, establishing a policy to prohibit the use of public funds to place the likeness or name of elected officials on all promotional and informational signage on county-owned property.
Move it.
Second.
Mr. Donaldson?
No, go ahead, Dave.
I'll defer to Joe Mahoney.
Go ahead, Mr. Mahoney.
Dave and I have been looking into this for a couple of months now. A lot of different things have come up to make us bounce different ideas around. The more we talk about it, the less we want to change it. We've said it many times. How many other places have done this? Almost all of Long Island has done this on the town level. There's counties that have started to do this. I can't come up with many reasons that elected officials' names should be plastered on everything. There's things going on in the town of Saugerties right now where they're frustrated on the state level and things that politicians are doing on the state level with their names and our tax dollars. I think the department head is a much more appropriate name that's usually on there, always on there, and I think that'll remain. And if there is something that we can come up with, which I have really yet to hear, a reason to take our tax dollars and promote the names of elected officials, then we can amend it. We can do it before or after, but the pros far outweigh the cons. I've talked to hundreds of constituents with virtual zero people telling me that now let's continue to see our elected officials' names on everything we do. So I'm ready to have this voted on, whether it gets through or not, and I hope it does. And I would like to remind everyone that people all over New York State, on the town and county level, are doing this. They're doing it exactly like we're trying to do it. And the people in those areas, I'm having a hard time finding negative media coverage. I'm having a hard time finding negative repercussions. I'm having a hard time finding groups from either side of the aisle in those communities that are anything but happy that their elected officials have decided to make this choice.
Legislator
Donaldson.
All right. I did want him to speak first because I know he wanted to. So anyway, I would echo a lot of what he was saying, but I'm just pointing out some of the things that are, to me, if I get a, if I see something coming from the health department and I, and the commissioner of health is signing off on that, that's an important, you know, something important that you should do or you shouldn't do. That to me has more weight than if it has the you're something from the Office for the Aging and it has Mike Kine on it. Mm-hmm. Just a typical one. These are they all do. This is just the ones I just got recently because they were there. There's another one, Neighbor to Neighbor Volunteer Program provides rides to seniors. And then it has the office, stuff from the Office for the Aging.
Can I introduce as Exhibit A?
If you want, I mean, but not only that, but then I get the prescription drug for the Ulster County prescription drug on the little tag itself, the little prescription thing that you pull out that becomes your tag. It has county executive's name on that. Is to me that there it is not only not necessary, but I think it takes away from it because to me, I'm looking at it as a political document as opposed to necessarily a document that is meant for to protect people's health. I don't understand why that would end. It's no difference if I was dealing with the head of DPW. I'd rather have a warning from the head of DPW that the roads in certain areas are in bad shape. Don't drive them. They know about it. They understand it.
Thank you. Joe?
There's a veteran van. I mean, it goes on and on and on. I'd also like to point out that our politics on every level are becoming more and more divisive. And I think you get a mailer with, I'll use the Faso Delgado race just as generic, and I haven't seen anything with either of their names on. Obviously, only Fasos would have the ability at this point. But just as an example, you get a mailer that says, hey, there's this going on, Faso all over it. Before you even get through it, half the electorate has already tossed it in the recycling bin because it's got Faso's name on it. Delgado wins, the same thing happens. Half the electorate, or half our constituents have already thrown it in the trash because it's got their name on it. I mean, 99.9% of what we're doing here does not need an elected official's name, and it's a built-in advantage. I mean, we want to talk about campaign finance. This would do as much for campaign finance as almost anything we put in the campaign finance bill.
Mr. Hebner.
So I just want to be clear that this resolution 281 is only addressing actual physical signage on property. We're not talking about mailers or pamphlets or anything like that.
No, a lot of those are dealt with in the PSA.
These were dealt in the PSA, but the devices they are that we printed.
Wanted to do that together.
Yes. But this right here refers to, like, say, a sign at the county pool or,
sure,
or something like that. Okay. Just, you know, a question to the sponsors. What are your concerns as we're still dealing with the fallout of the previous one regarding mailers and stuff like that? Do you believe, I'm just curious, have you thought about what your response would be to those same criticisms? In terms of the technicalities
I can answer some of that if you don't mind, Mr. Chairman. One of the problems we have now is that we have to stand up and enforce our policies. Mm-hmm. Because what is ending up happening is basically the county executive is ignoring them. Saying, how am I going to do it? And that is our policy. And what they did was instead he's ignoring the policy. I'm going to put my name on everything. I'm going to add it more and more and more and more. And we do nothing about it. So as a result, you know, it is whatever we want it to be, and it's going to be enforced if we decide to enforce it.
The fact that the fact that certain policies are not being adhered to me, is not an argument not to set policy as policy makers.
Right. No, I mean, it's absurd.
It's certainly something to think about because certain policies aren't being adhered to, and it's frustrating.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you. You know, in a lot of the areas where this has been done as Legislator Maloney, Legislator Joe Maloney was talking about on Long Island and other places, Westchester, places such as that. This has happened, you know, after an election. So, you know, when somebody has been voted out of office and somebody new has been voted into office, when the signs would conceivably need to be changed anyway. The way I read this policy, signs indeed would need to be changed tomorrow, which could prove very costly.
No.
Where is it?
Everything's grandfathered in. It's from here forward, just like the PSA was.
Is all that on and after the effective date here?
No. It says, on or after the effective date, no county elected official shall appear by likeness, picture, or be named, or otherwise be identified. So, that's, you know, on or after the effective date, if there's nobody who, you know.
We've talked at length, and in committee and caucuses, it was settled that this is not going to be. If our lawyers wrote this up, but we've talked at length, Dave and I have talked to a couple of the attorneys at length, there is in no way that are we going to, if the wording's not right on there, that it needs to be changed, and let's read through it, because everyone is under the impression that this is going forward, and if it's not, then it's a technicality that needs to be fixed if it's able to be read another way.
Hector.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So, I'm not here to weigh in on the particulars, but I mean, one potential easy fix would be on or before, just to the point that Chairman Ronk has raised, if you actually did make it on or before 2020, right, since the election, the next election for executive happens in 2019, at that point, you would then be dealing with on anything new from January 1, 2020. I mean, that would address the issue that you just raised.
It wouldn't, though, because because there's no saying that the county executive, the current county executive, is going to lose, and then you'd need to take everything down and remake it all anyway.
But they talk about any new signs at that point from January 2020. That's all it's saying. Sure, it's saying any new signs.
Joe, you want to chime in?
Yeah, I would be happy to push it back that far, but it might be. I'll be honest with you, I just disagree with the argument. I appreciate the point being made, but this is about getting it right. We're up here representing the taxpayer, and I don't think if the taxpayer appreciates this, and I'm confident they do, and they have in every other place this has been done, I don't think that's the argument. Well, this only should be done in between execs leaving. Let's get this right.
Jonathan?
Yeah, I mean, I support this concept that what you're trying to achieve here, but I do think it is important that we are in agreement with the language that ensures that that we are actually referring to new signage. I think is the way I would phrase it. And then also ensuring for the allowance of maintenance of current signs as they exist. Because it doesn't benefit anyone if we have, you know, signs that are falling apart and, you know, decrepit on county property, especially county parks. So I just think, you know, those types of specifics, you know, I mean, they're easy additions we could amend right now, but I do think we need the chairman convinced me that the current language doesn't make it specifically clear that current signage is protected under this version. And even though I know that's your intent,
absolutely.
I totally know that's your intent. We've had long discussions, but I do have concerns.
Make sure it's going to make it. I'm sure we're going to have the county attorney out after it, so let's make sure it's tight.
All right, what we'll do is, you know, I think we'll make an amendment on that to reflect that. And Nick said that he can, you know, do an amendment that would reflect that. I mean, I think that's the important aspect. It's the main mindset is, I don't want to be spending county money to go out and race in here all the time. That doesn't make any sense.
So you want to postpone it and then come up with some new language and then
bring it
back? Well,
he's
going to
do it. I mean, he can do it.
Yeah, again, I just don't think that, you know, fixing this on the fly the night before session is the best way to do it. I came into the meeting not knowing that you guys were going to want to move forward with it because you said that you were working on changes for the last several months and then came in tonight. And
all right. I mean, I'll respect that. Then we can, gel. We'll postpone and we'll get the new language and then we'll definitely move that forth next month.
Current signage isn't the only thing, but what about, you know, there's a plaque in front of the Patriots House, there's a plaque in front of the Roll of Honor, there's a plaque at, what about, you know, all these plaques? Do they need to come down under this policy? I think that they might. I don't know that, you know.
I don't think so. Stays, but we'll make sure it's written that way. Look, I'm under the impression when I asked our legislative council if this is going forward. I don't want to have that argument. We're not taking any signs down. I don't want this to have a cost or to. And I'm being told by our legal counsel, yes, this is. And then here we are in committee. I mean,
was it Chris? I
was under the impression that this was basically the language we had in the original because we split them. And in the original, it was all going forward, whether it was PSAs, like you have pamphlets and doctor's offices.
Yeah, I think
offices,
that might have been the mix.
And you have signage. We split it. So right. I was under the impression that this was one that Nick had worked on early on, and it was a big deal to all of us. I mean, that's something I talked with Vicky at length about. Me and Dave talked. We had talked about this in committee, and I thought everybody was on the same page that this was going forward, and now I'm being told that legally there's go-arounds. It's frustrating. I'm not a lawyer.
Can I get a motion to postpone?
Just last time we talked, you were sitting here, you were going to introduce a local law. That's the last conversation I recall.
I had explored that. I started out tonight by telling you me and David had gone over some different options, and we came back around to, and that was when we were trying to work with a couple of legislators that were coming up with an economic development mailer that they wanted their name on. And the more I thought about it, the more I said, I couldn't come up with anything that I thought an elected official's name could be on. So we came back. That's why I started out that explanation in the beginning here, saying there were other things that we were working on. We're back to the original bill.
Chairman, I'll make the motion to postpone.
Second.
All in favor of postponement?
Aye.
Thank you. 324, repealing resolution.
Would that postpone with the understanding that you were going to...
I'm happy to forward some language.
All right, perfect.
Yeah. Make sure you forward it to Dave and Joan for their approval before it comes.
Yeah, I sent it to Jay, and she can decide.
Thank you.
Perfect.
Thank you,
Dave.
No problem.
Mm. 324, repealing resolution number 24 of 18, establishing a policy to prohibit the use of public funds to place a likeness or name of elected officials on PSAs. Non-commercial and non-political advertising by Ulster County.
I'll move for discussion.
Second.
I'm going to let the people sponsors talk about it, if you don't mind. Kathy, Brian.
So at the request of several legislators, to amend rather than appeal this resolution. There is language now that would do that. The packet contains the original repeal resolution, and then it is followed immediately by the amendments that we're proposing that would amend the resolution. The effect is the same. The amendment of this resolution would basically allow names of elected officials on materials, although it would not allow likenesses, but photographs or pictures of a person. And this is basically the basic requirement of public officers law. What we saw and encountered was that many departments, in fact, there are examples from every department that I can think of, from the legislature to the executive to the comptroller to the sheriff, and especially in the Ulster County Clerk's office, of materials being sent to public to be published following the law, passage of the law that basically still included names. And in speaking with representatives of some of those offices, the officials made strong and I think very cogent pleas to have their names left on so that when people receive these materials, they know where to go. I feel like the name is much more helpful than an office. And I feel that if we amend this so that we get back to a place where we could have conversations with different departments and elected officials and see what they want, maybe there is a way to write a law that catches the things we do want to catch and allows people to put their names on things where it has an important role. I personally think it also has an important role for certain elected officials to use their position to advocate for various proposals, and that the voters have a way of responding if they think that's being done too much.
Dave, I'll let you follow up.
Yeah, I believe elected officials have they can do press releases, they can do press conferences, they can do all kinds of ways of getting across whatever their agenda is, or even getting across things that they want to promote. I really don't see how this neighbor-to-neighbor getting a ride for medical appointments would require the county executive's name on that, how that is going to make this a better document. The only way that's going to make this a better document is if the head of the Office for the Aging's name was on that. That would make it a better document. Because then it say it's coming from them. No different than the other one, or those ones that are talking about veterans. Those things that are talking about the veterans, when it shows that it has the head of the Veterans Agency on there, that means something to people. When it shows up that it has the county executive's name on the PSA, that becomes more of a political document. And let's face reality, it's free campaigning, and in many ways, and look at it, most places do it like this, and it's wrong. Some places are beginning to get away from that, and that's where they're going. They're beginning to get away from that. I had every one of the department heads, their name should go on those things. They are the experts in that field. That's what they went to school for. That's what they studied. That's what they have done all their lives. That's how they got those positions.
Thank you, Dave. I'm going to have four hands up, so I'm going to go with Hector, Joe, Brian, and Kenny, and then the fifth one would be Jonathan.
I think, Brian, you are a co-sponsor.
Go ahead, Brian. Okay, thank you. The buck stops here. We've all heard that expression before. Famously, it was on Harry Truman's desk at a plaque. Well, having a the responsible elected official's name on these publications is, in essence, the buck stops here. For instance, whether it be a transportation flyer, if somehow the UCAT doesn't perform well, ultimately up to the chain of command, the buck stops with the executive. If there's a failing in the DMV, the buck stops with the city clerk, and so on, with the county clerk, excuse me. The buck stops here. It's a way of identifying to the consumer of that publication, whether it be a PSA circular, and interestingly enough, some of these things are promoting initiatives by the person that ultimately responsible at the top of the chain of command. So I think it's a way of clearly identifying to the reader, to the consumer, and to the taxpayer, ultimately who's responsible for either the success or failure of a particular initiative. Thanks.
Thank you, Hector.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Through the chair to council, make sure I'm doing this correctly. In the second resolved, where it adds in to comply fully with New York State Public Officers Law 73B, and then the deletion of be named or otherwise be identified or referenced. So two questions. Number one, are we not in compliance with 73B at the moment? Number one, and number two, by inserting the language of comply fully with 73B and then deleting be named or otherwise be identified or referenced, does that in fact nullify the law?
Right, so two questions. I'm not aware of specific instances of non-compliance with the public officer's law, nor do I think it's a policy we're advocating not to comply with it. So I'm not aware of that. However, the second thing, I think it's an interesting point you raised, the definition. in the state law does refer to likeness, picture, or voice, so read broadly enough, there could be an issue there.
By that you mean what? I'm sorry, by that what? It's now no longer...
Well, it looks like what you're asking is...
Is it redundancy of 73B? Is that what we're asking?
Well, what you're saying is that, it is redundant to an extent, but then you've crossed out be named or otherwise identified or referenced. So be named doesn't appear in the definition of appearance, but otherwise identified or referenced could be. So I don't know if that addresses what you're asking.
Well, I mean, just insofar as that by amending in this way, are you effectively repealing?
Repealing our policy?
Yeah.
It's the
amendment that has been offered.
But I mean, my understanding of the initial initiative here was that it was actually intended to be a gap filler. It was intended to address areas not covered by the state law. Mm-hmm. I'm not so sure that this amendment accomplishes that same goal, if that's what you're asking.
Okay.
But I have to study the question.
It's a repeal. It's repeal. And they're claiming amending, yes. But they're repealing. They're using the word amend because certain legislators wanted it amended, but they're really just repealing it. No, they're trying to play a game on one words, but...
Joe, you got your hand up?
Yeah. I'd like to address a couple of things. First, Brian's point, the buck stops here. If it was about letting our constituents know who is responsible for things. I think Ward Todd might have went over a big sign while the jail was being built and going, how many millions of dollars over, what is that? Brought to you by Ward Todd. You'd see our elected officials' names at landfills. This has nothing to do with the buck stops here. This has everything to do with being a quasi-campaign act. If you look at mailers you get that are public service announcements, you'll see, most of the time, you'll see a department head's name, and then you'll see a big, gigantic elected official's name. You'll see brought to you by, it's always things like how can we screw that up? We're opening up the senior center to bring back old prescription drugs. That's not something that we're going to need. Who's responsible for this? This isn't going well. Oh, that elected official. No, this is all about positive reinforcement. This is all about a built-in advantage of a sitting elected official. And on top of that, you got to go a little further and think about what you have. When you're right here in a county, what do we have? Hundreds of appointees? 100 of them or so are paid? On the state level, you have thousands of appointees, and their job is to work for that executive on whatever level we're on. And when their job becomes getting the name of their boss out there, it becomes so counterproductive to efficiency and transparency and putting the taxpayer first. It becomes about ribbon cuttings, and it becomes about what are we going to do in the next feel-good mailer? And we're wasting a lot of money. You start to think about why the cost of living is so high and why New York State is so corrupt, and you look at our budget compared to other states' budget. Things like this go into it, you're not going to fix it.
I know you're talking about the state. Right now we're in the county.
Yeah, right there.
That's fine. We're doing it in the county. I'm trying not to make it about our executive because it's going to be a different executive. It's a little easier to relate to and to not ruffle feathers here if I'm going to use different names. If you want me to talk about Mike, he's the easiest one to talk about because he's worse than our governor at this. If we want to make it about the county, I certainly can. I started out by talking about the jail. But, enough is enough. And if we're going to talk about department heads in Ulster County not saying that they can put their name on things, first of all I hear from legislators is we don't even have access to department heads. I was on the phone the other day trying to get somebody help with DSS, and I was told by two different DSS workers that they're not allowed to talk to me. They have to first call Mike Iapochi and let him know that I'm calling and go through this whole rigmarole. And I'm not the only legislator. There are legislators on both sides of the aisle for years now that are upset about this. And now I'm hearing that two legislators that are trying to repeal something the executive doesn't want suddenly have all this access to department heads that are saying they're unhappy that their names can't be on there. Their names can certainly be on there. And one last thing.
Yes.
I did get some emails from some of my constituents about a state mailer recently, and they were all upset that this elected official's name was all over it. And I informed them that here in a county, that's illegal right now, and they didn't know it, but they thought it was great.
You know, those emails might be great if you could share them with the rest of the committee, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Thank you.
I'll have to redact some things out of it.
That's fine. Don't worry about it right now.
Sure.
Just to get them to it. That'd be nice.
I'm up to Dave Donaldson. He can speak to it.
Kenny or
I think Jonathan.
You can go first, Jonathan.
A piece of that, Sam. Back to that, you know, the actual technical aspects of this resolution. First, that's the question of the sponsors. In the second to last resolved, where you're exempting websites and etc. In the resolved before that, it says that the policy we're setting is to fully comply with Public Offices Law 73B. But then in the next resolved, I'm curious what the need for that exemption is, because there's no such exemption in 73B.
It's just to clarify. It's
involved. Okay. So then again, you know, to beat the same drum, can you name one instance, if this was to pass, one instance in which the current status quo of the way things are, in terms of likeness and everything, any changes that would occur within the county government if this was to pass?
Through the chair.
Go back to where you were before?
That's my question.
Yes. So we would go back to where we were before. So
then my follow-up question to that then is, if it would go back to the way before, that's if hypothetically the current policy was being adhered to, then what is the, why not introduce a repeal?
So a repeal or an amendment are essentially equivalent. And so if you support a repeal, you should support an amendment that accomplishes the same thing. If you prefer an amendment, then you should also support a repeal. So to complain about whether it's a repeal or an amendment is an endless circle. But both the original repeal language got us back to public officers law, and this gets us back to public officers law. And what would change if we didn't do this is that we still have not department heads, but we have elected officials who are the heads of their, I don't know what to call them, divisions, the clerk of the county, the sheriff of the county, the comptroller of the county, who, and members of the legislature, who have all submitted materials or wanted to submit materials with their names on it that have either done it not knowing what the new policy required, or have felt constrained by the policy not to do it, even though they wanted to include their name in order to inform their constituents about the materials.
Just to follow up on that, I still have issue, again, this is the Laws and Rules Committee, and you know, we're supposed to look at the actual technical aspects of being in charge of this committee. And you know, whether you support the policy one way or the other, and to what extent you support that. I have one serious concerns about mask. I do not believe amending a resolution versus repealing a resolution can be considered the same thing. I think just in terms of pure perception and transparency, I don't think it's the same thing. Amending a resolution is saying that we're going to take an existing policy and change within that policy different aspects of it. This does not do one bit of that. This, with all due respect, legislator, this strictly 100% repeals this policy. In doing so, it literally, in my concern, puts a meaningless piece of paper into the record that essentially almost insists that we previously haven't been complying with New York State Public Offices Law.
Go ahead.
I think I can clarify that. So prior to resolution number 24 of 2018, the county had no explicit policy on this matter. We were governed by public officers law. We had no explicit policy. resolution number 24 provided a policy that said that you cannot have name or likeness. That was the policy that this body adopted under some protest, and in my view without full enough discussion with all the people that would be affected by it. This resolution can amend that policy now that that policy exists to remove name, which is the part of that policy which went beyond public officers' law. So in this instance, not in every instance, this removing of name is an amendment to an existing policy, and it puts us fully in compliance with public officers' law. A repeal would do the same thing, except that we would no longer, as a legislature, have a policy. There are many policies that we have that are redundant to state law. I don't like them, but they don't hurt anything. So I don't have a count of the legislature in terms of who prefer repeal versus who prefers amendment.
Beverly,
there were enough people who wanted this change that I think we should accomplish it by one of those mechanisms.
You know, I believe in my remembrance of people talking about this both in caucus and on the floor and afterwards amongst legislators, when people said amendments, it was amendments to address possible concerns in terms of specific clarifications in which other parties had brought up. But this, again, is a repeal. It does not amend the law to create the existing policy. It doesn't. This is a repeal. I'm just curious. So then, why didn't you introduce it, which you originally had as a repeal? Why did you change it?
Because I thought they were essentially. Well, you're raising. I don't understand your point. This is an amendment to an existing policy. You can repeal the policy, or you can amend the policy.
I'm going to interrupt this and going back and forth. I think Heidi had her hand up. You're done. Minority leader or chair?
May I?
Yes.
I
you get promoted.
Well done.
Or maybe
the deputy. Deputy chair.
I'd rather be just plain legislator.
All right. A lot of stuff's been said back and forth. I tend to come down this where Legislator Heppner does, that I was one of the ones who would support a resolution that amends it rather than repeals it. I think that this still repeals it, and I think that you can amend it without it being the same thing as a repeal. I think that one of the concerns that people had was, you know, that the definition of what a PSA is or isn't wasn't specific enough. I think that there are some legislators that see a PSA as a billboard or a radio ad and not maybe a neighbor-to-neighbor flyer. So I think that there's a lot of ways that you can amend this without repealing it. Unfortunately, I think that this is just a repeal under a different name. And that's... I can't support that. But if we were to have a serious discussion about what is and what is not a PSA and really,
sure,
you know, specifically, you know, go through what is a PSA and what isn't. Because I'm one person, I don't know that I view this as a PSA. I think that a PSA is a radio advertisement or a billboard or an action, you know, the word announcement's actually in public service announcement. You know, television ads, things of that nature. So if we want to go down that road, it's something I can get on board with.
David.
You know, the problem here is the lack of transparency even in putting this in. The way you're putting it in, claiming that it's an amendment when it's really an appeal, no matter how you look at it, it's a repeal. And the pretzel logic that I heard about this is, I was trying to follow the pretzel logic, but that's kind of hard to follow, if you know what I mean. It's face reality, it's a repeal, and that's all it is. And I just have to address one thing. Legislator Waltman talked about the buck stops here. Well, the buck stops here. Why wasn't the county executive's cell phone number put on here instead of the office for the agent? Right? Shouldn't his cell phone number be put on there then? If the buck's not using your reasoning, let's change that. Rather than call the office for the aging, we'll call the county executive's cell phone number because the buck stops there. So when we're looking at that, and like you said, you don't know if this is considered a PSA, and what we should do is, and I agree with you, we should actually come down and then let's list them if that's what people want to do. If that makes people comfortable, then that's what we should do. So I cannot support this as an amended or appeal or whatever it is, a repeal, but I'm not going to support this type of a repeal. So.
Joe, you want to add something?
I'll be quick. I would just like it to be on the record that... you know, a couple of months ago, we were in here and three county attorneys for the legislature all agreed, almost every legislator in the room agreed that it was a violation. The argument that was used by the county attorney and a few legislators was that they didn't know whether it specified name. Yet, the legislation says in name, and that was what the argument was about. Now we're taking name out, proving that the legislation covered in name. I just wanted that on the record. How silly.
I'd like to call for the vote.
I'd just like to add one thing before we... you want to add something?
Go ahead, please.
I'd be, Kathy, more apt to support a repeal with, you know, than this amendment, because this is, I'd also be more apt to support a repeal and support the other law. I think that one makes more sense than to have a PSA. I don't think this is a political ad at all. I don't see a donkey or an elephant on it. I see a little cute little Volkswagen thingy there. But it does have the executive's name on the back. You know, he's in charge. I don't know if that means anything. It says funding provided by Ulster County. But I definitely think that... you know, you guys have to do some more work on it and define. I mean, radio or TV ads might not need the executive name on it. I don't know. You know, but something like this, I don't see any harm in this. But, you know, you guys are going to have to define it more.
I'll bring my crate next time, too, because there's a lot more than that.
There is a lot more. And, you know, and I'd hate to say that we have to micromanage and go through each one. This one's good. This one isn't good. That doesn't make any sense for us. I mean, to me, it's all common sense and what, you know, what is election material. I don't think this is election material, you know, but Jim, go on.
Mr. Chairman,
the idea of getting your name out.
He's also the elected county executive. I mean, that means something right there.
Mr. Chairman, I do firmly believe this should be repealed. I was the only no vote when the first resolution went through. But, Kathy, the water is extremely muddy in this resolution as written, so I'd like to make a motion to postpone it.
I'll second it.
All in favor of postponement?
Aye.
Against?
Against.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, merely just for the record, I believe there were four people against Resolution 24, legislators Eckert, Green, Maloney, and Nolan.
I do see two votes on it.
Jim, you were
I was the reading, I'm sorry, Hector, I was reading the bottom. Let me scan up. Oh.
I gave you the kudos in the beginning, and I take it away later on.
Hector.
Hector, is the electrical going to be short, or should I skip over you for campaign finance? I believe that's what you guys are here for.
In order to get everybody else out, why don't you do campaign finance? So I'm
okay,
happy
cool,
to
thank
make
you.
Way.
Well, wait, we might want to listen to the rest of it too. You never know.
Okay, fine. Now you're going to be here for half an hour. Sorry.
My apologies. I didn't bring you guys up sooner. And let's do 361, setting a public hearing on proposal local law number 21 of 18. Regarding campaign finance reform in Ulster County.
I'll move it for discussion.
Second.
Okay.
How much public money is in it?
$179,000.
$179,000.
Yeah.
Per year?
$179,000, yes.
sorry.
Make a motion, as with the last one, that we postpone this one for a month.
What do we have?
I actually do think that if we're going to have a public hearing, we should have both public hearings at the same time.
Sorry.
It's going to be kind of confusing.
It's been remarked to me by several people that it would be less confusing if they're on the same night than it would be if they were on different nights.
No, I understand that. I'm going to say it's you're going to have two public hearings on the same issue.
We'll put Dave in parentheses on one and Kathy.
Do we have a second on that?
Jim.
All in favor of postponement?
Aye.
Against?
What I would like to do is say there's a number of people here would we be able to, maybe one or two of them might want to speak on this, on the campaign finance?
Say that again.
I think there's a number of people here. How many people are here for that campaign finance? And are you all part members of the CSEA? Is that what it is?
Do we have a leader so we get one person speaking?
Chris.
Chris Ludlow, Hudson Valley Political and Legislative Coordinator for CSEA. I've emailed you all a couple times. You should see my emails. Posts from the New York Post and a couple other things. There's some good things in both these proposals. CSEA is fully on board with restricting limits, you know, for putting lower maximums with contributions. Our big issue is using any public tax dollars to fund any political election. You know, we have a real issue with that. What you could maybe look at is how the federal government does it, where it's an optional checkoff. So if somebody chooses to contribute $3 through their tax return, they know that money is then going to the opt-in. The presidents have an option to opt into this. But at least they're making that specific decision, saying, I want to spend my money on this. The way this is set up right now is that they have no option. They pay their taxes, and a quarter, even if it's just a tiny portion, is going to this program for something so divisive as politics. It seems very, I don't know, unfair. And also the way the law is written, it's almost impossible for most people to actually qualify to receive matching funds. You need quite a few contributions. Looking over the BOE filings over the past couple of years, very few people actually would qualify for this. The county executive would, potentially the treasurer, maybe the sheriff, but that's about it. So the county legislators, at least, for the most part, wouldn't qualify under the amount they've been raising thus far. So.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Moving back. Number 329, adopting proposed local law number 13 of 18, establishing the Ulster County Electrical Licensing Board and providing for qualifications, examinations, licensing, and regulations of electricians in Ulster County.
I'll move it.
Second.
Hector?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I've spoken to the county executive a couple times about this. He is working on how he would implement, in addition. Should have just waited.
There you go.
Give me a second.
No, keep going. It's all right.
Okay, fine.
We can hear you over. We can hear you over the Exodus.
What's that? I was. Are you trying to say
I thought they were all electricians?
No, they're all leaving because Hector's speaking.
They have BX wire in their pockets, Dave. Anyway, so
wait, one guy forgot his pliers.
Okay. Or the meter. Anyway, so the executive is, I think, you know, taking a look at this. Have his people take a look at this. I told him I'm open to any amendments. I think I told him that from the beginning as well as to from the administration standpoint. So that's what I have to report back. And we already have, I think, all the information that was asked for by the committee previously. So,
do you know if this was funds were set aside as a 19 budget?
No, not yet. No.
Why don't we see what the executive comes back with?
All right, I was ready to vote. I was ready to vote on it tonight, but I'll be happy to make a motion to postpone it if that's your wish, Minority Leader Rodriguez.
Sorry. I think you can postpone it against my wishes one last time.
Second.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to postpone it?
I mean, yeah, but I'm retaining my votes.
Yeah, but he doesn't approve.
Oh, you're not going to ask. Okay. No, I understand. You always got to ask.
He's going to bang his.
I know what it means.
Okay. It's all fine. Right. Dave's going to put his name
himself
on the
board. He wants you to postpone it, but he doesn't want you to postpone it.
All in favor of postponing?
Aye.
All right,
aye.
Opposed? 381, set in a public
really
hearing.
We're really getting out there, so I'm doing some postponing here.
On proposed local law number 22, a local law of the County of Ulster requiring residential fire sprinklers in new construction.
So this...
You may want to move it first.
Well, I'm moving for not discussion.
You're the...
All right. And then if I may, Mr.
There
Chair.
You go. I think...
If the Deputy Chair will yield...
Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
On this one,
I am more than willing to suggest that it be postponed an additional month. This came from a village trustee in my community, Village of New Falls, who is also a fireman. I believe Albany County has passed similar legislation, but I am more than content to postpone this so that way we can have him come up here and actually, I think, have additional dialogue.
Why didn't he come tonight?
I sent them an email.
Mr. Chairman, may I?
Yes.
I don't know that I'd be in favor of a postponement because I don't foresee any scenario where I support this.
And to be truthful with you, it would be a pretty long stretch for me to support it either, because of the cost. I mean, this is going to be a it's going to add $15,000 to $20,000 on every house that's
not
put up.
Not to mention the fact that there are several areas of this county where it is completely infeasible to have a sprinkler system. Any place without a municipal water supply, I mean, you're going to have each homeowner is going to have to build a mini water tower in their backyard to comply with this.
Well, if that's the case, then in that case, I would actually rather than at that point withdraw it and then have a discussion about a reintroduction on a maybe smaller scope. Although this, again, this is what Albany County was working on.
I mean, apartment houses make,
so yeah. Hi, Mr. Chair. I believe, respectfully, since it's the will of the committee at this point,
city,
that they are against it.
Four units
hold on, Dave.
Yeah, something like that.
Go ahead, Hector.
Then I will withdraw the resolution and then reintroduce it later on.
Hector, what is that trustee's name?
I'm not blanking on his name right now. Bill Murray, which is the most awesome name. Bill Murray.
Hector, it's the chair's option not to accept your withdrawal. We're going to have
you actually can't not accept it except this whole sponsor.
What do you think about that, Nick? Who's right? The chair?
He is the sole sponsor.
I think Hector can withdraw it, Mr. Chairman.
Snakes are on the grill and the ice is melting.
That's exactly.
That's what comes with the sole sponsor. We will redraft into a much more acceptable form, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Okay, we got new business down here. Proposed local law 23 of 18.
Who introduced this?
I did.
It doesn't say on the thing, that's what I was curious.
This is a, what I'm requesting here is a reduction of the legislature from 23 to 21. There's a number of reasons for doing it. One of the more obvious ones is about, you know, overrides and things of that nature. It makes much more sense having 21. I know Fred Wadnola wanted to do this quite a while when he first came in, but I did not support it at that point. And the reason I didn't support it at that point would we would have had to actually read, we would have to redistrict all of our again. Where what this does is it puts it out for the after the next census. So the redistricting comes in the same way it did when we actually reduced 33 to 23. It's all done at the same time. So in other words, it's not like you're going to redistrict, and that was my problem when Fred Wynola put it in, because we would have to redistrict in the middle between the 10 years. You've been running in a different area again, and then get it changed again 4 or 5 years later, whatever it was.
So you're up to about 2023 now.
What's that?
2023.
That this would have
to. Yeah, it would actually take place in
a perfect world.
Yes, it will take place at that point. Yes.
I'm gonna go with Kenny, then Joe, then Matthew.
Legislator Donaldson, what would you think about an even smaller legislature, like 9 or 11, and then have it be a full-time body?
I don't know. I don't know if I would go for that. I mean, I'd have to really think about it.
Offices,
I mean, my mindset is that...
No, they don't write, Sidney.
Not that more is necessarily better, but the point is it creates a... The part-time person is more connected to... a neighbor in the town. In other words, like, they know me as a legislator from Kingston. People know me as that.
I respect that point of view. The other point of view that I've seen on it, and I go back and forth on it, is that, you know, one of the biggest complaints I hear, and I think that some of the disagreements that come from pieces of legislation is that, you know, we have a full-time executive, we have a full-time comptroller, but we have a part-time legislature, and, you know, not everyone has the time to devote to fighting the battles that we fight from time to time with the other branches because it's a part-time body. I think that, you know, having a full-time legislature with some term limits, so it's not a forever full-time legislature. I think that has the potential to make an equal body. That's something I could support conceptually. So,
sure.
Well, could you support this in the meantime, and then actually have a discussion on that in case that we don't get that by? I mean, I'd like to have this on the records, and then I would entertain the other part. I mean, I don't have a problem with thinking about those things, but I would like to have something done so we can have that set up for when the redistricting commission meets. It's easy enough for them to meet and dwindle it down from 23 to 21 like they did. I mean, it was very difficult for them with the 33 down to 23.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this would be a lot easier to do because it's really only a reduction of two.
And the lines are drawn already.
Right, and then so they'll draw up the lines at that point. So that makes it a lot easier. Like I said, that's why I didn't support when it was going to be changed.
I'm going to go with the
NOLA one to change it.
I'm going to cut you off, Dave, and go to Joe Maloney.
I was kind of going to go there. I had talked to Ken. We've all talked about that. I talked to Dave about it earlier today. The timing is right to have the discussion even though at 21, and I think Dave's a lot of it's about math. I think it makes sense to go to 21, and if you're going to have this conversation, now's the time. We've been working on the lines. But I would like to see 9 full-time legislators with a larger staff and be close to the same, taxpayer funds. And I just think in a lot of ways it's not quite working. We are not, and it's almost impossible to, you know, create the checks and balances with this new charter form of government unless we really do think about doing that. I think there's people on both sides of the aisle that would... agree on the pros, but I do hope we talk about it. I mean, can we make an amendment? We can try it right now. 9 full-time legislators with a staff. How specific do we have to get for the amendment?
I don't think this has been introduced. Mr. Chairman, if I could just put the reason to go from 23 to 21 is that actually a 2 legislator reduction in the body it makes a 2 vote reduction for an override. So because you can't have a veto override. So because 23, because you can't have like a half of a legislator. If the override vote, I think it's 15.1 or 15.1.
Is this solely the reason?
That would be, I think, Dave's reason.
That would be
reason.
One reason, so yeah.
But so it's can we get back to why we are elected representatives, so we're representing our districts and our people?
Yes.
That's really why we're here.
Right.
So why are we worried about a veto override number?
Well, because what has happened is the problem is the veto override is over 70% instead of like 67% like most places.
Give me an example so I can help me understand.
Well, take 2/3 of 23. What is it?
Couldn't tell you. 2/3.
Well, what's the veto override?
It's 15.2 or something. I'm not sure. I don't know. 2 to 4. I'm gonna get into.
Comes out 16.2. I mean, it's 15.2.
It's
15.18.
So they're just losing a legislature.
Which means 16.
Yeah.
So you take 21 times
14.
It gives the legislature.
It's 14.
Power.
Essentially,
what
Heidi.
What are we giving our constituency?
We're giving them a greater voice through their personal legislators.
Right, their personal legislators.
I don't get that.
More districts to represent.
More people to represent.
And more people to represent. And I'm just trying to, try to see the value
10%.
In this.
So why not 10% increase?
Well, that's unnecessary. Nobody said more is better. But I'm certainly not saying I'm going to look towards giving my... I can't imagine sitting down with my constituency and saying, see you later, because they're worried about the veto override. They don't even... They want representation. They're not sitting back here worried about a veto override of the amount of people.
Well, if they want term limits, they might be. Or if they don't want term limits, they might be. We're talking about...
There'll be a lot of reasons why they
might want that. We're talking about empowering the legislative body to challenge...
People who turn to their legislators for everyday issues like learning where the Medicare medical insurance counseling is. Do you think that the lady that needs help with this is worried about a veto override?
I think there's a lot of people worried about their tax dollars.
It's about, about governance. It's about governance. What's the best way of governing? I mean, it's about governance. It's not about, in other words, is it better for them? Yeah, I think it is, but would they understand that it's better? Not necessarily. Some people would. Some people would get an understanding of what it's meant by. In other words, the idea that, most places do have an even third. And even two-thirds is an override. That's typically what it is. We don't have that. Ours is higher than two-thirds because we have 23, an odd sort of number for that.
Because otherwise it would be a little bit more than two-thirds. If it was 15, we can't do that.
I'm going to go around the table. I think Hector wants to speak. Brian and Kathy.
I don't want this to be prolonged because I'll just leave after this. But
please take me with you.
You come with.
You're going to do a mic drop? Rodriguez out?
Yeah, pretty much. So,
for the W2.
While I understand, I want to commend Lexer Donaldson for bringing up the overall issue, the problem really becomes... It's everything that Heidi just said. I could just basically go and say ditto, because at the end of the day, it's about turning your representation, right? And if we are a representative body, it doesn't matter what the number for a bond proposal is, or for declare property surplus or override a veto. Each of those instances, by the way, is two-thirds, right? So it becomes a whole thing where, while I understand the point, the math is not pretty. At a certain point, what I am more concerned about, if this is a discussion about representation, fine. Meaning, Mr. Ronk, as you brought up the idea of, okay, fine, if we're going to go and move to having a full-time body, okay, fine. That's a discussion about representation and about the overall structure of the government. That's a reason to go and talk about, well, how many are we going to have, right? That's a legitimate. When we start talking about the number, whether that two-thirds threshold is 15.2, 16, 74.5, at a certain point, that will just be determined by the nature of the body, period. So if we're talking about things like a full-time legislature, then I think that this is a worthy discussion. If it's just about the veto override or the two-thirds vote to go and declare property surplus, that's not what we need to be talking about.
Small. Brian, you want to weigh in?
Yeah, if I could, just this. I saw this today for the first time, and in thinking about it, we're the branch of county government that's supposed to be the closest to the people. We're there. We each represent the smallest amount of people in county government. We have roughly 7,000 constituents now. I think the idea of reducing the number of legislators and increasing the number of people that are represented by each individual legislature only would seem to make the branch of government that's supposed to be closest to the people effectively more remote from the people. And this is early days, first time I saw this, so I'm not, it's just something to think about. Do we want to be, we're supposed to be the branch of government that's the closest to the constituency, where we can respond quickly to Mrs. Jones about something, or get a fence put up to, if we can, intervene with a corporation and get something put up to make their property a little better and nicer looking in the neighborhood. And that's one of the things we're supposed to do. And I'm just so concerned that reducing this body and increasing the number of voters or citizens at each legislator represents would only serve to make us more remote from the constituency rather than closer to it.
My math says it had about 1,000 people per legislator. You know, I could handle an extra 1,000. But
talk about going down to 9.
That was me. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that would be a tough one. We'd handle like 6 towns and stuff like that.
Well, that's why you would have to be a full-time job.
Well, it depends on how you broke it down.
Yeah. Jonathan, then Joe, and then Kathy, you had your hand up too. So.
Just, you know, as we continue the conversation, this is the first time I'm looking at it, but I have similar concerns that Heidi outlined. As of right now, you know, the hypothetical situation in which we could potentially move the goalpost up one vote, and the hypothetical reality that would cause some major, you know, saving of democracy in Ulster County, you know, that's not enough to convince me that we would, you know, remove 2 sitting seats from this body. But I'm open to continue discussion.
The city would probably lose one.
I don't think so. I think the city would get more power. Joe?
Yeah. To me, and I've said this a lot, this is about getting it right, getting it better. I own and operate a business, and if I can save, you know, $30 every couple of months on lighting, I'm going to do it. But when it's not your money, and we're just guarding money, and when we look up the Ulster County Charter and we look up what our job is as legislators, I don't see Mrs. Jones in there. That being said, I do. Hey, hold on, Brian. I got the floor. I do a lot of that. I did a lot of it before I became a legislator. I have a business I think Heidi, you're involved in a family business. You probably had people come to you for years before you were in the public sector, and you helped Mrs. Jones get to the person she needed to get to. You helped her find an apartment. You helped her with her fence. That's not our job as a legislator. That comes along with it because you're out there. People know you're a legislator. You're going to be asked, and the good legislators go that extra mile to do that. It's not our job. Our job is to oversee a $330 million budget. And if 21 legislators gets to that, I'm not talking about hypotheticals. I guarantee over a couple of years there are things that are going to happen that the legislative body wants to happen because there's 21 rather than 23. It's not the only reason, but that math is a big reason 21 might make a better number. Is 23 better than 33? Well, is 21 better than 33? Is 21 better than 23? I mean, if we can get it better, let's explore it. But this argument that, hey, look, we're going to represent more people, we won't be as close to the people, it probably won't end up mattering anyways, that's an absurd argument in my mind. And if we can make it better... What's that?
Not proving the other side.
It
undoubtedly gives us more power. When we're trying to create checks and balances, you talk to any former legislator over the last couple of years and any legislator sitting here today, maybe except for 1 or 2 in the whole body, we do not have real checks and balances. We have an executive body that's more powerful than the legislative body. No one can deny that. We talk about ways to do it legislatively. We have a back and forth debate about how to tweak the system post-charter, because we're fresh into this, and figure out a way to get the legislative body a little closer to be able to create real checks and balances. Well, guys, this is one way. And what I've heard from half of us is,
Kathy, why don't you finish up?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'd like to, this is the first time hearing it. We're looking for more information on it.
You know, there's so many things that are being said that it's hard to know where to start. Vetoes are very infrequent, and so the need for an override has been very infrequent. And the idea that you make something better because you see something where you would have more power and you come in and you try to get that, that to me is just changing things that are already working in order to get them to work more the way that you want. And, you know, truth be told, if you represent your constituents well and they send you back and you get the support of other legislators, then you can do that. But a lot of the proposals that we've been dealing with this year, and this is a prime example, are just tweaking a system that is already working very well. And I say that it's working very well because vetoes have been very infrequent. If we had frequent vetoes that we lacked the ability to override, then we may have a problem that we needed to address. And it may be that the executive office is more powerful than the legislative office. I don't think we can tell that right now. You know why? Because a lot of times this legislature has wanted to do things that the executive office puts forward and allows us to do. This executive has just proposed like the seventh budget in a row where there's no tax increase. We're the greenest county in New York State, and among those, the greenest in the entire country.
Thanks to the executive.
Thanks to an executive and legislature working together. So I think that, you know, the idea that we can even weigh the power depends upon somebody disagreeing with the direction that the county has been going. I just am very happy with the direction, and I do represent already four towns in my district. So an additional 1,000 people, if it adds in a fifth town, I think would have a concrete effect on my ability to meet all of those. I've been to all of my districts. I continue to do that. It's a huge territory. If you look on the district maps, you see that. This isn't without consequence, even at two members. And at nine members, with our current salaries, the supposedly full-time people would have $35,000 a year. So I think some of the math hasn't been looked at hard enough by people who are throwing around numbers and ideas. I just don't see why we would spend a lot of time doing this when there's real work that we could be doing for our constituents.
Hector, you want to chime in?
Thank you, because you know what? I've been a legislator for 15 years, and I'm not waiting to be allowed to do anything by the county executive. I'm one of those legislators who have to go and create the charter. There's a few of us here in this room, handfuls of us left. But that said, I'm not waiting to go and basically have the county executive allow us to do anything. We do things as an equal branch of government, but we don't do it at all. So first off, there is that. Secondly, I would rather, again, embrace the argument outlined by Legislator Haynes to go and say, I would rather have this discussion be about representation than a number. But if we're going to bring up, if we're going to engage in ancillary issues, I'm not going to sit here through that. So meaning at a certain point, if you want to talk about representation, fine. Mm-hmm. But if we're going to kind of basically have this sort of back and forth kind of going on as to who we love and who we hate, that I'm not going to, and I'm saying that to all everybody here, because there's more than enough of everybody kind of shooting up from the hip. So at a certain point, we want to talk about representation, that's great, right? We want to talk about saying a better system, whether that's full-time legislators or higher than, you know, three-quarter time legislators, fine. That's a worthwhile endeavor, in my opinion. And then, yes, then we may have to look at retracting. So
there you go.
So. Motion to adjourn, Mr. Chairman.
Well, Mr. Dawson has hand up.
So does Ken.
Go ahead.
Which one?
I don't care.
All right. Really quick.
That's real leadership.
I'm gonna be really quick. I think that a lot of important things have been brought up around the table tonight. I think this is a really important issue that we shouldn't be rushing to judgment on. It's not something that we should be, as the Laws and Rules Committee, I think it's important we engage in a thorough discussion on this. I think that we all need to think about all the eventualities and, you know, how each of the things that was brought up tonight and that may be brought up in the future is going to, you know, affect things. That, you know, Legislator Nolan brings up a good point about, you know, proportional representation based on constituents, but also based on geography. One time during the last first redistricting commission, my house, Kevin Roberts' house, and Denning were connected in a single 8,500 person legislative district. Right. It would have taken me an hour and a half to traverse my district, from end to end, and that's based on, you know, that was one of the maps.
Playing around.
It wasn't a serious
goal. It was serious enough that it was a proposed map.
What happened over here and what happened over there wasn't our concern.
Go look at the first three versions.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying that it's possible.
And the grins were so close that they were different.
It's all a possibility. But I think that we should be having this discussion and maybe not so maybe not so frustrated with each other about bringing up ideas, but you know, but maybe you know, actually have a good discussion on each of them, like the proposed maps that were not really that were just a discussion
we can talk
point.
About. There you go, Dave. Why don't you finish up?
Well, just as a point of information, like you said, with the a number of versions coming out of that commission were, and then they changed after a few phone calls too. So for that people made because you know people the number of people got a little aggravated with it. So I don't know where it'll go.
Face to face there for a while.
Right. Yeah, I was supposed to propose a Peter one, and then they changed it. Peter made a bunch of phone calls, and then it got changed, and I was instead did it against someone else. Which is fine. It is what it is. I never made a call. Didn't get involved in it. I said I stayed totally out of it. So
crystal clear, Dave.
But anyway, what I want to point out this is, like I said, Fred Wynola put this in. It was actually consideration when they first went down to the 23. The reason many people felt that it was too big of a jump, they said, oh, well, going down from 10 from 33 to 21, you're talking about a bunch. Some people were talking about that. This is a simple thing. It's a 21. It makes more sense in that, right, it's not the only reason for doing that, but it does strengthen the legislature. It strengthens the body slightly. It's not going to mean a great deal of difference in vetoes, but it could at some point. No, but it does strengthen the legislature slightly. I mean, that's the way I kind of look at it. But I put it out for people to take a look at and have a consideration. That's why I put it in as new business. I wasn't expecting you to vote on it.
Talk to me, Jim.
Motion to adjourn.
All in favor.